Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I like that, Sister Samaria. I like that. I never heard that song right there. I like that. You got to send me the name of that one. Shalom, Ms. Picard. Shalom, family. I'm your brother, Ariel, here at Kol Elohim, bringing you Iblis Culture from Bet Yahweh Congregation here in Baltimore, Maryland. Once again, I'm your brother, Ariel, bringing you the third installment in the kingdom of the earth and who shall rule. And actually, we are just on the third, but it's actually my fifth week. But this is the Bible has so much more for us to get into, so much more. So this probably be a two-part next time I go around. Who knows? Whichever way Abba Yah directs, we probably have got about an hour, 10 minutes before the doors of the Shabbat is open. But prayerfully, we all are making it and looking forward to the Shabbat. Looking forward to it. I know I am with a long week, but I will not complain because Abba Yah got me through it. Abba Yah got me through it. And it felt good getting off at 2:30. All week long I was getting off at 6. Besides yesterday, it felt good to get off at 2:30 today. And then you look up, you know, you got to teach, and them 5 hours go by so long. It's like, wow, this took a nap, woke up, it was about 4 something. I still got time. I'm thankful Yah has already given me the lesson I had planned last week, but he didn't want us to go that route. We went a whole different route where, you know, he just wanted to talk to us and for us to listen. You know, I don't think I had read one scripture last week. I can't remember, but Abba will was done. Abba will was done. Let me open up with a prayer this time, because I didn't open up last week with a prayer, but I will this time, and the benediction. Hallelujah. 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 Pura Abba Yah, once again, for giving us life, for sending down your son to die for us, Father Yah. Abba Yah, ask and pray for all those who are listening, all those who will listen, that you water, you plant, you water, and give the increase, Father. So whatever come out tonight, and wherever the seed may fall, wherever it fall, Father, that it fall on fertile ground, Father Yah, that it fall on open hearts, Father Yah, and that it grow, that it produces, Father, for all of us, not just for those that hear, but for me as well, Father Yah, because I look forward to your word as well, Abba Yah, that we all can continue to walk towards your holy mountain, to walk towards your kingdom, to be better believers for you, Father, so we can continue to purge away those things that hinder us for having that complete, that oneness relationship with you that you and Yahushua, your son, have, Father, because we all desire that. We all desire that oneness with you, Abba Yah. And for those of us who may not, Father Yah, continue to deal with us, continue to forgive us for our sins, to continue to purge us, Father, so we can come to that understanding of oneness with you and your son, as he said in this holy, in Yahushua's holy precious name I pray. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahweh, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, pleasure in us, love and favor, gave us his holy Shabbat as a heritage, remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Shalom, family, once again. Shalom. How are everybody doing? Prayerfully, you're doing all right and ready for the Shabbat door and waiting for the Shabbat door to be open so we can walk through it. I had a blessed week, I will say again, and what I love about my new job and what Ira give me is I get a chance to talk about his word. Working at Emerge for 20 years, I didn't have that opportunity in the last years. I didn't have it. It's like there was no even Christian believers around me, you know, just people who say they highly blessed and highly favored, but they had no real relationship. They had no real drive with you to even build a relationship which you come to understand that all they knew is what their parents told them, what they heard on TV, what somebody else said, and that was about it. And that was their whole vision of who you are. But you and those who given their life to you, they know and understand, like, hey, we ain't talking about the same mighty one. But now, even with the conversations I had now, I truly understand that we not talking about the mighty one, the same mighty one, but I enjoy the conversation now, and I don't beat them up. I don't go and try to hit them upside the head with doctrine and all that, unless they say something that was just totally off the wall and totally out left field and totally out of the word, you know, and they try to make it as if that's doctrine. You know, that's not. Now, just one young brother, in fact, he introduced himself to me, Brother John, one of the security guards down there. He's a minister. I'm a minister, okay? My wife a minister, okay? You know, and I enjoy our little conversations, you know. And he looks for me. He looks forward to talking, and he always, and I allow him to talk because the most part, he's just praising. He's just giving praises and honor to the mighty one of his understanding. I will say that. So he really don't get into doctrine. He really don't get into what he is and what he's not and what the Bible say about this and what the Bible say about that. So it's really no need for me to go in and say, well, you're a Sunday teacher. You on Sunday and you doing this and you doing that, and the words say don't do none of that. But he's just giving praises to Aliyah. So I can receive that. I can take that because I feel the same way the way he was saying. You got to give your life to God. And he may not be giving the life to the one that written the scripture, but as I said earlier, the one of his understanding, he believes he's given praises for. And he said the same thing that I heard of many of us said. I don't want to hear those words. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. He said, I want to hear well done. So hopefully, and my prayer also is, well, maybe if he's sincere about his walk with the Most High, and when he hear the truth about the walk, that he will sincerely change. I don't know. Part of me doubted, but who knows what Abiyah has in store for this young man. You know, right now, he's just a baby. There's no ifs, ands, no other way I could say he's just simply a baby, and he wanted to just praise Yahweh. What he say, JC, if he knew better, would he do better? I don't know. When time will tell. Because eventually he going to say something. And Abba gave me an opportunity just to drop a high moment in his mind, because he did get to talk about Jews and how Jews didn't understand the Messiah. They didn't know who he was, so that's why they couldn't accept JC and all that. And I just listened and smiled and, okay. So I asked him, because, you know, he see the Zeke. I don't know if he know what they are. What you think I am? He said, you're a minister. I said, oh. I said, I'm the same thing as the Messiah. I do the same thing as the Messiah. You know, I try not even to use Yahushua so far with him, because I want to keep the lines open. You know how some things are triggers for some people, and they shut the lines. They shut their ears off. And they are not hearing no more. And we are sent to win souls by our wisdom, that the wisdom of Yahweh, not ours, Yahweh's wisdom. So I was like, okay, I'm the same thing as the Messiah, as Paul, Peter, John, Luke, Matthew. I said, everything they did, I do. I try to model my life behind them. And I learned to say that to especially Christians, because they looking at it as if they have it, and they write about what they're doing, and they on the right path, and Christianity is it. But when you go and you tell them and you doing this, and you go to church on Sunday? No. Well, the Messiah didn't go to church on Sunday. You keep Christmas? No, but none of the apostles kept Christmas. Easter. Well, how is it that you do what the Messiah do? Because most of them don't know. They have no clue that what they do, the Messiah and his apostles, does nothing that they do. They have no clue. The eating kosher and eating clean and all that, they don't have a clue. They in their mind, they look at that as Jewish law, as Jewish things that that's done away with. But the average don't have a clue that these brothers, the apostles, and everybody who followed Yahushua was Hebrews. Hebrew Israelites. And those who wasn't, they became proselytes. They don't have a clue. But hopefully with that thought, it'll register and sink in his mind, and he start to, and we get to talk more, and I get to show him in the Word what the Messiah actually did and how he actually lived, how the apostles actually lived. And on top of that, he said he's an apostolic. And I'm like, well, I'm not familiar with that. What is that? You know, the apostolic is the apostles, something about the apostle thing. So that's why I was able to throw that in there. Everything the apostles do, I do. I follow. As Paul said, he followed Mashiach, follow him. So I was able to drop that seed, hopefully, that old Hillel won't come and snatch that away real quick and he just forget all about what we talked about and he'll continue living on. But I'll see him Monday, hopefully, or Tuesday, whenever he come back to work and we get to finish talking about that word. And he even said, yeah, because you got to rightly divide the word. You got to study. You showed us. And I'm loving it because I'm allowing him to talk. Pull it back to his face like, yeah, you remember you said this, right? Now let's go to the word. He did say, well, your interpretation is this, and people had their interpretation. He got into it. I said, well, in the book of Peter, it talks about you shouldn't have no, there's no private interpretation to the word. And you see him, he looked like, oh, really? Yeah, that's what Peter said. You know, if we're going to follow God, we got to follow what his word says, right? Right. So I'm tickled by that. I'm excited by that. Hopefully that Abiyah will be done at the end of the day. At the end of the day, it's about spreading the good news and giving people Abiyah's word. And just a brief review on the kingdoms of the earth and who shall rule. We started off going back to the most ancient kingdoms, the first ones that was considered kingdoms or empires or cities. All those who use their synonyms to talk about is all pointing to a kingdom, you know, empires, countries, you know, and what we look at it today as countries, you know. Those who are ruling over top of these countries. And the second one, we talked about the two, I believe it was the two, kingdoms rising up out of the beast. I believe that was it. I believe that was it. Maybe I'm getting it mixed up, but I'll go back and look at it. And this week, we talking about the influences of these kingdoms. The influences that the ancient kingdoms have on the world today. That's what we'll be talking about today. And we'll be talking, going into some things, reading about Egypt, Babylon, Medes and Persians, Greeks and Rome. You know, and the one thing that all five of these kingdoms talk about or have in common is they all subjugated Israel. They all had a great influence on Israel, all of them. All of them had a great influence on Israel. You know, and starting with Egypt, because we know that Egypt points to the world, and the other four that we know and understand that Brother Daniel got a chance to talk about, and even in the book of Revelations, even in Second Ezra talks about the four kingdoms that Daniel mentioned. Even Yahushua mentioned about the desolation of abomination that is written in Daniel. So the book of Daniel is very important to the end times, and the kingdoms that he talked about is very important into these end times. And just the influences that they have on us, even till today. And we're going to read in these things, and we're going to go through some scriptures after we read in these articles about these four kingdoms. But let me open up with Yeshayahu 33:22. And that was our mantra that we've been going through. But again, as I believe, we follow. I went off script, so we had to go off script. For Yahweh is our giver. Yahweh is our king. Will save us. Amen. And he's talking about Israel. Yahweh is our judge. To Israel, Yahweh is our lawgiver. To Israel, Yahweh is our king. You know, and if Egypt points to the world system, Israel points to the kingdom of Yah. Egypt points to the world system, Israel points to the kingdom of Yah. You know, that's what we supposed to be representing here on earth. We supposed to represent the kingdom of God. That's why he gave Moshe the pattern of the heavens. And what he gave to Moshe, Moshe in turn gave to Israel. So he gave Israel the pattern of heaven. The rules that heaven is ran by, there will be a kingdom on the earth ran by the rules of the kingdom of heaven. And we as Israelites supposed to be citizens of the kingdom of Yah. And our constitution is the Torah. No different than where we at here in the United States. And we have a constitution that cannot be broken. It can be amended, cannot be changed. It cannot be changed. And again, Yahweh have a lot to talk about these kingdoms, but we won't be getting into that tonight. With all that said, or they pattern the Constitution after the Torah here in the United States, but almost every government prior, when they have rules and regulations, guaranteed is modeled after the Torah. Is modeled after the Torah. And maybe on the second go around, we'll be have a chance to get into those things. I did want to get into the Constitution. I did want to read through that. I wanted to read through a couple countries, other country constitution, and we just wanted to compare that to the Torah, which hopefully in the future, Yah will give us that chance. I wanted to read the Declaration of Independence and compare that to places in the Torah. We know it's nothing like I'm saying that we don't know, but there may be someone on the line. There may be someone on the line that don't know that majority of people's constitutions, whatever they got, their law statutes and their judgments, is modeled after the Torah. It's modeled after the Torah. So let's get into tonight's lesson again. Yeshayahu, Isaiah 33:22. For Yahweh is our judge. Yahweh is our lawgiver. Yahweh is king. He will save us. And I'm so looking forward to Who shall rule all these kingdoms, and everybody, especially now in these days of time, we got a chance to talk about that in the first lesson, that everybody now is jockeying for who shall lead? Who shall lead in this new world order? You know, will it be the BRICS, China, Brazil, Russia, and a couple African nations? I believe South Africa is a part of the BRICS, and the BRICS is fastly growing. A lot of countries, just like here in the Western Hemisphere, it's called NATO, the coalition of countries. And United States right now is the world leader. Right now, if there's an order in the world where we are, United States is the leader. They are the world leader right now. Their currency is what we will call king. Our money is king right now, but again, it is fastly losing its grip on the world, and they know it's going to lose its grip on the world, and they know and understand that China is moving past them. Even with that said, where United States was once the world's police, was once the world's full standard and going in and trying to fix wars and trying to broker peace between countries. Guess who's doing that now? China. China is now doing that, brokering peace or bringing different countries to the table. The same thing that United States was in once place doing. Now this China is doing that. They're the ones that's bringing, Israel and who Israel? Iran to the table. You know, they're the one is bringing about peace talks throughout the world. I believe Russia paid off some debts of Africa. Even China paid off some debts of Africa. This thing is moving fast. And it's moving right in our face if we are paying attention. But I don't know how many is paying attention to what's happening on the world scene. But we supposed to watch what's happening on the world scene, because it will affect us. It will affect us. And I will give everybody advice: continue to strengthen your spirit. Continue to get your relationship right with Abba Yah. Continue to prep. Continue to prep. We might have to go as far as turning off electricity every now and then, or take a day and no electronics, so it won't be a shock to your mind. I remember, I believe years back, as I can put it in our heads, that fast. Try to eat a little less, so if that day come you are hungry, it won't be a shock to your system, and it won't overwhelm you because you've been doing it already. But we if the gas and electric, the electric, the grid go down, the world won't be in total chaos. Not only that, if the internet goes down, just the internet, you can keep the gas and electric on, but just the internet goes down. One of the matter of fact, he's the head of the world forum, I believe, Charles Squaw, whatever his name is, Russian dude, said if there is a cyber attack, that, matter of fact, he said there will be a cyber attack that make the pandemic or the pandemic that we just came through look like a picnic. And he's the same one said before the pandemic came about, that there will be a pandemic. So the pandemic, or is it plandemic? Are they planning these things? We know here that they are planning these things. We are not fooled. And they're not hiding it, family. They're not hiding what they doing. They are not hiding it. I mean, we're not awesome. Our head ain't in the sand, is it? We definitely know what's going on in this world system. We should know what's going on in this world system, because the scriptures tells us to watch. to watch. How are we going to know if things going to rate if we're not watching? Yahushua told us that a many a time through the quote-unquote old, the new. Throughout the scriptures, he tells Israel to watch, to pay attention to the world system going on around you, to be watchers, not ostrich, without head in the sand, just going about everyday life. Pay attention to what's going on. That he tells us that. If the word didn't say it, I wouldn't speak it. Wouldn't speak it. Even when he tells us to put on the armor, at the very end of that, right? In Matthew 24, he says, watch. And so on and so on and so on, he says, watch. He says, watch. Talks about these beasts and all these things that are going to come about. Watch. Ostriches having our heads in the sand. We must understand this world system, and how we do that is through his Torah. Torah tells us everything. His word. His word. That's why we when we came through Revelations, Albert brought us through Revelations beautifully and let us know, hey, don't go with the okey-doke. Don't go with what they've been telling y'all for years about what Revelations is talking about. Go with my word, because Revelations was explained in my word. And I gave y'all the wisdom to be able to go through there and find it in my word and see it come about that y'all won't be surprised. Even with the psyop that's going on right now, when they bombarding us with all this fake news, as Trump put it, on the television, with all these many things that's going on. Don't worry about none of that. You pay attention to what Abba says, and what Abba says will show you what Hillel is doing, Satan is doing, because it's not man. At the end of the day, it's not man that's trying to bring about all this chaos in the world. In fact, we know it's Abba Yah. If we want to be honest and openly, it's Abba. Abba is allowing Hillel to move the way he moved. He is allowing that. So when you ride down the street and you see a billboard, and there's many around Baltimore and the surrounding counties, if you can plan for a party, you can plan for a natural disaster. So when things go awry, they can say, hey, we've been telling y'all all this time. We've been letting y'all know. Why you think we gave the senators we said that on national TV, on news. All the news stations mimicked that. Every last one of them parrot that. Oh, yeah, we gave over 100 senators satellite phones for the continuity of the government. Oh, are we under attack? Is something going to happen? Those who know, we know that the senators, those in that, they've been had satellite phones. They've been had satellite phones. That ain't nothing new. They know what's going on in this world. But they, again, put it out there for the public to see so they can say, we've been telling y'all all along. We know we're not as far as like other countries. Other countries will straight up tell you, prepare. Like China did its country. China told its people, hey, start making gardens, start preparing, start putting up food, start. They told their people that. United States won't do that here. First of all, we are too privileged here over in the United States to even listen to that. We believe that we are invincible here in the United States. But we know a prophet that have already prophesied that we will have war on these streets of America. And we just had a great influx of immigrants, not just immigrants, but quote-unquote illegal aliens just come across the border. And how is it that at what was it, May 14th? Well, it was May 14th, I believe, when they said that, I forgot the law, that at that time, you can't stop illegal immigrants from coming over the border. And there was hundreds of thousands of illegal immigrants and military-aged men coming across. Yes, there's women and children too, but hundreds of thousands. What in the world does China do? We live right next to Mexico and Canada on the other border. How was there a lot of these Asian men coming across the border? How are a lot of these Middle Eastern men coming across the border? A lot of these Russian men coming across the border? Canada up top, Mexico down the bottom. And all these other ethnic groups that live far away border. That's just food for thought for all of us. Abba Yah will guide us. He will guide us through the wilderness. I don't care what kickoff, when it kick off. He will guide us. He got us. We just have to stay the course. We have to stay within his bosom and hear when he speak to his Marines, when he speak to his leaders and say, here, go there, go there, go there. Move now. Because he did it once. He'll do it again. And I didn't even ask what I'm on the line. I'm sorry, family. I'm just talking. Let me read these listenings real quick. Let me get to that, family. Give me a second. Get to the first article. And if you want, I can send these articles out. And the first one is about Asia. There we go. I'm not going to read all of it, family. Y'all know that. And I'm not going to read every last bit. And then how did Egypt contribute to modern society? So I'm going to skip through a lot of this and start right here. I will send this out to you, family. So if you want, you can go through it yourself. Egyptians contributed to modern day society in various ways. One major contribution was in the field of medicine. Egyptian doctors performed surgeries and uses of mummies to learn more about the human body. The calendar was developed by Egyptians, and listen to these things in contrast to Israel and what we know about Israel. Because again, we're talking about the kingdoms of the world and who shall rule, right? And we know and understand that Hallel has set up some kingdoms and Abba Yah has set up a kingdom, right? The calendar was developed by Egyptians. Egyptians also created a form of writing and math that were, their writing was called hieroglyphics. Hieroglyphics was made up of pictures or symbols. They also developed grammatia because they needed a system of managing their land and to build pyramids. Ancient Egyptian society was centered around the Nile River. Pharaohs and gods were the heads of society. Most Egyptians was peasant farmers. However, many men and women, I hit more on this thing that went somewhere else. And I'll tell you, my phone been acting a fool today. It was acting a cold fool today. And I couldn't tell you why, but my internet was down and everything. Sorry about that. I had to go back out because soon I hit something to say to show more. It sent me out. Ancient Egyptian society was centered around the Nile River. Pharaohs and gods were the heads of society. Most Egyptians were peasant farmers. However, many men and women also worked outside the home. Egyptians' contribution to modern society. And every time I hit that, it goes away. Every time. So the main thing, we're going to go with that family because, again, when I say my internet that was acting a real fool today and my phone was off all day long, and not just mine, several people, several people, several. So one of the main things is what they, medicine, doctors performing surgeries, the calendar was developed in Egypt, as they say, math, writing, all these things that they said what modern, what Egyptian gave to us today, would bring it up till today. And forgive me for that. One day I will be able to get in there, but right now it will not open. It will not open, so we're going to move on to the contribution of the Babylonian citizens. Pray for you. This will stay open. Bear with me, family, as I try to get to the point. All right, here we go. Writing and education, and the many things, even Egypt was also known for, I do remember that when I read the article earlier, that it talks about their contribution also to the modern day society was art. And yes, we all can agree on that because we see the walls inside of the pyramid. We see the walls and we know and understand that these people of today stole a lot of things out of Egypt. Like the Samaritans, the people of Babylon used cuneiform writing. They used more than 350 signs in their writing. They used to write on soft clay tablets by pen made of bone and bamboo. Then they baked tablets on sun, and kept one after another during the reign of Hammurabi, the famous emperor of Babylon. Education spread in the nook and corner of the land. He established many schools for the students. The Babylonian boys put emphasizes on writing, reading, and mathematics, and girls were proud of song and dance. From the ruins of a Babylonian, an inspired sentence was written on the wall of the school. That sentence was, he who shall excel in tablet writing shall shine like the sun. This shows the love of the Babylonians for education. Literature of the Babylonians was very rich. The Babylonians wrote around 2,000 books. They composed books on religion, science, mathematics, and astrology in their domain of Babylonian literature. Gilgamesh carved a special position. This epic described about King Gilgamesh, the legendary hero of Babylon. Once God sent flood to teach sinners, Babylonians, a lesson. Again, everybody stole from the scriptures. But we're going to keep on reading because this is what the quote-unquote scholars say that they have offered to the world and still say that we are being influenced by these things even till today. Let's go down some more. Our religion, it said they had religion, science, again, art and architecture, administration, and I would read that one right there. The Babylonians was very famous in the field of administration. Beside the Code of Hammurabi, laws were also written on clay tablets. The royal orders written on 55 clay tablets have been discovered from different pieces of Babylon. Hammurabi had sent messages to administrators through these tablets to adopt compassion, literal attitude, and honest in the field of administration. Undoubtedly, the Babylonian administration was directed for the welfare of the people. It tickles me to hear these things, especially when I first read it. And if you want, I will send this out on the line after I finish reading these things. Now let's move on to the Medes and Persians family. And this may be just the Persians. The most comprehensive list of the Persian contribution to the world. Agriculture. The first paragraph, then I'm going to read what they are. We hear very often of the Islamic Golden Age, which lasted from the 8th to the 13th century BCE. But when we look further into history, was in fact much more of a Persian Golden Age. When looking at Persian history and heritage there, so much to be proud of. Fascinated by the flourishing of the Persian people and civilization has led to an expansive contribution of science, literature, art, math to the modern world. While we may know a few that come to mind, below is much more comprehensive and maybe surprising list of some of the many incredible contributions of the world. I mean, to the world. Whoever this scholar that put this together, he really liked the Persians. Agriculture and water irrigation, alcohol. Today, alcohol is one of the mostly used products in the world. Used drinks, food, and its different states and different compositions. It was first invented by a Persian physician named Muhammad Ibn Kariya Al. We got a whole lot of names. He worked on different and chemicals and invented alcohol, algebra, economy, backgammon. They say backgammon was invented by the Persians. Banks. I would like to read that one. During the Achaemenid, private banks were established. Most famous was Bank of which carried on the business of pawnbrokers, floating loans, accepting deposits. Its capital was invested in house property, fields, cattle, in the boats, carried the merchandise. Accounts were and checks were in use. Bank of Chura and Sons was founded later in Pur. It held the canals and sold water to farmers, secured such spring or fissures which were spraying out at a port. They gave the world batteries, bricks, cutlery. eBay, now, come on now. Early environmentalists, guitar, gloves, grapevines and vines, human rights. I'm going to read that one. The Cyrus Cylinder has been historically recognized as the world's first universal of human rights, created in 534 BCE. The Cyrus Cylinder is conducted out of clay and inscribed in cuneiform script and predates the Magna one millennium, was discovered in Babylon in 1879 and is now kept in the British Museum in London. So they even had human rights way back then. Modern medicine, orchestra, long coats, pants and long coats, perfumes, Persian Empire and first and powerful in history. Persian Empire, they said refrigeration, roads, rolls, vintage, sulfur acid, textile, industrial, wheel. The Persians invented a lot, the wheel. Okay. Let's move on to the Grecian family. And this is from the Alcation. And it's 11 ways Greece influenced modern society. The culture of Greece evolved over thousands of years and is widely considered to be cradle of modern Western culture. Political systems, procedures like democracy, trial by jury, and lawful equity originated there. Ancient Grecian thinkers laid the intellectual foundation of many fields of study, whether it be astrology, mathematics, philosophy, engineering, medicine. Nearly all information we take for granted today was first discovered by ancient Greeks. And if we follow in the pattern, majority of what we didn't read through have all said about the same thing. But we know and understand that Egypt was way before. First Babylon, then the Egyptians, then the Babylon of the Nebuchadnezzar era. Then you have the Medes and the Persians. Then you have the Grecians. Well after that, and we read even in the first one, where there was eight African civilizations, and all these was in the Mesopotamia area. These civilizations that came way before the Grecians. But power, you can, in whatever our fight you wanted to be the most grandest. That's one of the things that I hope we are listening for too, as well. The Greeks also established many of the standards by which identify beauty, value in art, literature, music, architect, design, and the performing arts. But I will say this, just red is, body is still ringing. Because many of us look at what the standard of beauty is through the eyes of the Westerner, through the eyes of the Grecians and the Romans that came through, even what art is. If you go and you punch up the world's greatest artist ever, you rarely will come to anybody outside of the Greco-Roman empires. They won't go as far back, but again, we who know that they are not. But do they have the most influence on today's world? Yes, they do. Yes, they do. They have the most influence on today's world. And it's all a part of the kingdom of the world and who shall rule. And we know, we must understand that these things have been in motion for thousands of years. For thousands of years. And even with democracy, that the world is beginning to see, hey, democracy ain't what it's crapped up to be, what y'all been selling everybody else around the globe what democracy is. That's not it. Selling this for thousands of years, overturning governments and selling them democracy. Not democracy. It really not. It's not. But we going through this information so we can come to a point. Not tonight, though, but we got a journey to go through in this world. In short, if you live in the West, you are more like an ancient Grecian than you may realize. Article highlights some of the Grecians' most significant contributions to the Western culture. And that is true. So also those who are trying to be like, bring by the Torah, we're going back to mostly Eastern culture and how they live. But culture is the dominating culture in the world. But that's all right. That is all right, because elite culture is silent right now. But it will rise. Because elite culture, Hebrew culture, is only Torah. That's it. That is what Hebrew culture is. Torah. That's it. No different than what democracy is to the Westerners. Torah is our culture, is what we live by, governed by. Again, we talking about the contributions of these other nations right now so we can come to a point. Amen. Amen. Our 11 contributions to the Western civilization, Greek, that is, democracy, alphabet, the library, Olympics, science and mathematics, architect, mythology, medicine, trial by jury, the theater. Things be said. We've read in the other countries. We read in the other empires, the other ruling nations of the world. Because each one at that time, they were ruling the world. That's why it's important for us to pay attention. That's why it's important. They were ruling the world. They had the most influence on the people, even till today. The data. You know one thing when you read? That you won't find art in Israel. You won't find theater in Israel. I mean, modern day, today. But in Israel, that you won't find art in theater. You won't find, if you have not read inside of the Torah, that they had art in theater. And that wasn't one of the big things about Israel. You don't read about some great artist in Israel. You just don't. But again, that's why we are going through these things to see the influences that these other empires have on the world, even compared to the influence of Israel that's on the world. Now, we know Israel has the greater influence that's on the world. How we know that? Everybody in the world has a Bible. They may not contribute back to Israel. It might not contribute it back to the God or the Mighty One of Israel, the world, Bible, or know about a Bible. I don't care what country you live in. There's a word there. There's a Bible there somewhere. But it may not seem to us or to the world that Israel have the greatest influence on the world. Give it time. Give it time. We will. Give it time. But right now, we just worried about these other kingdoms right now. I'm going to read this one, and it's again about democracy. According to Merriam-Webster, a democracy is a form of government in which supreme power is vested in the people and exercised by them directly or indirectly, through a system of representation, usually involving a periodic free election. Again, we here in this country come to understand that democracy is not it. What he just read, free enterprise for the people and by the people, nope. All those quote-unquote freedoms away. one more family, and that is the Roman Empire. And this will say, from the resource article, traces of ancient Rome in the modern world. The ideas and culture of ancient Rome influenced science, technology, literature, language, law of today. And indeed they do. Ancient Rome had a large influence on the modern world. It has been thousands of years since the Roman Empire flourished. We can still see evidence of it in our art, architect, technology, literature, language, and law. From bridges and stadiums to books and to the words we hear every day, the ancient Romans have left their mark on our world. Now you will get into that. I'm just going to read from the side. Ancient Romans have had a tremendous impact on art, architecture. We can find traces of Roman influence in forms and structures throughout the development of Western culture. Although Romans were heavily influenced by ancient Greece, they were able to make improvements to certain borrowed Greek designs and inventions. For example, they continued the use of columns, but the form became more decorative and less structural in the Roman building. Ancient Romans created curved roofs and large-scale arches, which were able to support more weight than the post beam constructed the Greeks used. These arches served as the foundation for the massive bridges and the aqueducts the Romans created. The game-loving ancient also including the Colosseum, the sports stadium we see today, with their oval shape and entire seating, derived from the basic idea the Romans developed. The arches of the Colosseum are made out of cement and remarkable strong building materials the Romans made with what they had at hand: volcanic ash and volcanic rock. Modern scientists believe of this ash is the reason that the structures like Colosseum still stand today. Romans underwater structures proved to be even sturdier. Sweet water reacting to the volcanic ash created crystal, and that filled in cracks of the concrete. To make a concrete this durable, modern buildings must reinforce it with steel. So today, scientists study Roman concrete, hoping to match the success of the ancient master builders. Sculpture of art of the period has proven to be fairly durable. Two Romans made their statues of marble, fashioning monuments to great human achievements and achievers. You can still see thousands of Roman artifacts today in museums all over the world. Technology and science. I will not go through that either, family. Literature and language. I won't read all that. Law. And that was the last one. So it was law, literature and language, technology and science, art and architecture. Again, we heard a lot of the same thing. But once we got to the Grecian Empire, something went a different way. Something else came in. Once that empire entered the world scene, and with Israel. Once Israel was conquered by these people, a lot changed. And when you go back from the Babylonians, to the Medes and Persians, the ones that Daniel talk about? Because when Israel was in Egypt, just before they came out, then they got the Torah, then they got the ways. But in modern, in Babylonian and the Medes and Persians, they had the culture, they had the Torah, they had the knowledge of Yahweh. As they was in Egypt, they didn't have that. Only a few had understood and carried that within that 400 plus years that they was down in Egypt. But once they got into Babylon, the Medes and Persians, they took their mighty one down there. They took their culture down there in these lands. But once Greece came, something changed. We're going to read about it. We're going to read about it. First, we're going to read every place that Israel was. So let's go to the Hebrews. And I'm reading out the WEBA family, Hebrews 11. We're going into the faith chapter because it's going to give description of somebody that was in Egypt at the time. The faith, Hebrews 11. 24, starting at verse 24, going down to 31 for those who are following. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to share ill treatment with God's people than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a time. And again, all this is coming up to date, family. We went through all the places, not all of them, but the majority of places who had the most influence on Israel, who affected Israel more than anyone else. Those five, you can go in, the Philistines and a couple others, but that wasn't the route that Abijah took us. We just dealt with these five because those are five today are the most talked about. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to share ill treatment with Yah's people than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a time, accounting the reproach of Mashiach greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, that the destroyer of the firstborn should not touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. When the Egyptians tried to do so, they were swallowed up. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. They had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab, the prostitute, didn't perish with those who were disobedient, having received the spies in peace. Listen to the hidden message that while these people, while they were still subjugated, always someone standing up for Yahweh. Message, Israel. Message. Daniel. Let's go to Daniel. And what was Daniel? The Babylonians, right? Daniel's 1. And we're going to start from, matter of fact, we're going to start from 1. We're going to read 1 through 8, family. 1 through 8. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. Yahweh gave Jehoiakim Yehuda into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of Yahweh, and he carried them into the land of Shinar, to the house of his mighty one. He brought the vessels into the treasure of the house of his mighty one. The king spoke to Asaphan, the master of the eunuch, that he should bring in some of the children of Israel, even of the royal offspring and of the nobles, He went and got some of the best of the crop. Youth in whom was no defect, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and endowed with the knowledge and understanding science, and who had the ability to stand in the king's palace, and that he should teach them the learning and the language of the Chaldeans. The king appointed for them a daily portion of the king's dainty and of the wine which he drank, and they that should be nourished 3 years, that at end they should stand before the king. And in other words, he's trying to indoctrinate these brothers. Message family. Again, we then read through all these other empires that have a great influence on the world today and have indoctrinated always the fruit. Now among these were the children of Yahuda, Dana'al, Hananiah, Pekah, Mishael, and Azariah. The prince of the eunuch gave names to them. To Dana'al, he gave the name Belshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach. And to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel proposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's dainty, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuch that he might not defile himself. Listen, the king is trying to give him meat, and he's trying to give him drink. What did Yahushua say about his body? The wine. But what did Dana'el say? Who's that? Captivity. He refused to be indoctrinated by this king, by this foreign king. But again, we have to go back to the top, that Abba Yah gave Israel to them, so Israel can move through something. Everything is working for the good of those who love Abba Yah. Do we trust him? Are we trusting him? He has been showing us throughout the ages that I have a plan for you, Israel. You're going to be indoctrinated. Yes, you're going to be in bondage. Yes, you're going to be in captive. Yes, you will be subjugated. I have a plan for you, Israel. Do you understand? Are you following me? He is moving us all along the wilderness. Array in this world, those who have been trusting him, be all right. Always be all right. And that was in Babylon, right, family? So what will be the next one? Now let's go to Esther. Esther 3. Again, Israel in captivity. Esther chapter 3, 1 through 10. After the king Ahasuerus highly honored the son of the Bogian, he exalted him and set his seat above all his friends. All the palace bowed down to him, for so the king had given orders to do. But Mordecai didn't bow down to him. To Mordecai, why do you transgress the commandments of the king? They questioned him daily, but he didn't listen to them. So they reported to Haman that Mordecai resisted the command of the king, and Mordecai had shown to them that he was a Jew. Haman understood that Mordecai didn't bow down to him. He was greatly enraged, and took counsel to utterly destroy all the Yahudis who were under the rule of Artaxerxes. In Israel, there is always and have always been someone trying to destroy us. Always guiding. No matter what captivity we was in, he have always guided us. There have always been someone trying to destroy by any means necessary. Because we do not belong and we do not bow down to that king. In the 12th year of the reign of Artaxerxes, he made a decision by casting lots, killed the race of Mordecai. One day, the lot fell on the 14th day of the month of Adar. So he spoke to the king Artaxerxes, saying, "There is a nation scattered among the nations in all your kingdom. Their laws differ from all the other nations. They disobey the king's laws. It is not expedient for the king to tolerate them. It seems good to the king. Let him make a decree to destroy them. I will remit into the king's treasury 10,000 off his ring and gave it into the hands of Haman to seal the decrees against the Yahudis." And at your own, you can read it. But it's always, no matter what captivity we've been in, someone trying to destroy Israel. And I tell y'all what, family. Everything that's happening now, it ain't just about some new world order. It ain't just about trying to collapse the United States. It is about destroying Israel. Understand, 400 years, no matter how you look at it, have passed. And all of a sudden, these people are waking up. The people start waking up. What happens? The world goes quiet in the sense of being quarantined for 2.5 years, almost 3 years. And for some people, it's still going on because their mind is still caught up in the pandemic. They cannot let that go. But we cannot deny that there have been major things happening within this world. The world down, family. Same time, some people started waking up. Coincidence, believe it or not. That was the Medes and Persians right there, family, in Esther. So let's go to our First Maccabees, starting at verse chapter 1. And I would start at 1, but I'm not, because there's a lot. And I wanted to stop so many places within this, but Yahweh said, keep reading. So we go on to First Maccabees. Starting at verse 11, chapter 1, verse 11 through 43. And this is when the Grecians is just coming into power. This is just after Alexander the Greek. Ain't nothing great about him. You know what's crazy? They got the world calling him Alexander the Great. Just think about that. When most people talk about Alexander, they call him the Great. Is that not an influence? How many people call Moshe the Great? Yahushua the Great? But they got us so influenced. Call this boy here a homosexual. We call him the Great. No, not for me. He's Alexander the Greek. Bottom. No way of about him. I mean, it's all the Irish will, but his word, let's put it that way, his word. So this is when Alexander the Great had passed, and he's on his deathbed, he divided up his kingdom, which was vast, to his four generals. And this is one that Daniel talks about, that wicked seed. This is him. This is what he inherited, 1/4 of Alexander's kingdom, which was over, they conquered Israel too. Just wanted to give some background for that, for somebody who may not know. And as my teachers have always taught, you have to teach as if someone don't know. And sisters, yes, those questions y'all asked about, I have the answers. Abba gave me the answers, so when you get back, we're going to talk about it. That paragraph you sent me, yes, Abba gave me the answers to that. Yes, indeed. So we get a chance to talk about that. And again, you have after lessons, you have questions, send them out there. We're here for it. We're here to make sure we all are on the same page. We're all on the same page and seeing the same thing. Scripture says, let us all speak the same thing. Let no divisions be within the body of Mashiach, the body of Yahushua. In those days, forth out of Israel, transgressors of the law persuaded many, saying, let's go and make a covenant with the Gentiles that are round about us. For since we were parted from them, many evils have befallen us. The saying was good in their ears, and certain of the people of herein went to the king, and he gave them license to after the ordinance of the Gentiles. and it wasn't the king of Israel, of Grecian at this time. And they built a place of exercise in Jerusalem according to the laws of the Gentiles. And they made themselves uncircumcised and forsook the holy covenant, and joined themselves to the Gentiles and sold themselves to do evil. And the kingdom was well ordered in the sight of Antiochus, and he thought to reign over Egypt, that he might reign over the two kingdoms. And that's who one of the four generals was, Antiochus. And he entered into Egypt with a great multitude, with the chariots and with elephants and with horsemen and with a great navy. And he made war against Ptolemy, Egypt, and Ptolemy was put to shame before him and fled, and many fell wounded to death. Excuse me, family. And they got possession of the strong cities, Egypt, and he took the spoils of Egypt. And Antiochus returned in the 143rd year, and went up against Israel and Jerusalem with a great multitude, and entered presumptuously into the sanctuary, and took the golden altar, the candlestick of the light, and all the things there too. Listen, when we read in Daniel, what was the difference? Remember, what was the difference? He entered sanctuary. He entered into the sanctuary. Abba Yah gave the things of the sanctuary. Because he entered into the sanctuary, took what he wanted, gave Nebuchadnezzar things of the sanctuary. Now we're going to see the change that took place with Israel. And the table of the showbread, and the cup poured with oil, and the bowls, and the golden censers, and the veil, and the crowns, and the adorning of the gold, which was on the face of the temple, and he scaled it off, and he took the silver and the gold and the precious vessels, and he took the hidden treasures which he found. It's a message in these things, family. It's a message. Somebody taken from Israel, rather than it was given to them to hold it. Because we know at the end, things was given. Even in that, when somebody went into the king's chamber and took something, there was writing that came on the wall and told that man, because you have defiled my stuff, yes, you got it. For you to defile. Get out and party with it like it's some ordinary thing. You are weighed in the balances. People come around. They don't ask for permission. They ain't honoring nothing. King of the Medes and the Persians and Babylon, they honored the things of Yahweh. Yahweh can call them his servant. They have this mindset. Still, these people came along. It's a difference in where we are today, fam. Where we are today. Let's keep that in mind. The difference of the mindset once these Grecians came in. And he took silver and gold and precious vessels, and he took the hidden treasures which he found. And when he had taken all, he went away into his own land, and he made a great slaughter and spoke very presumptuously. Excuse me. And there came great mourning upon Israel in every place where they were. And the rulers and elders groaned, and the virgins and young men were made feeble, and the beauty of the women was changed. Every bridegroom took up lamentation. He that sat in the marriage chamber was in heaviness, and the land was moved for the inhabitants thereof, and all the house of Jacob was clothed with shame. And after 2 full years, the king sent a chief collector of tribute to the cities of Judah, and he came to Jerusalem with a great multitude, and he spoke words of peace to them in subtlety, and they gave him credence. And he fell upon the city suddenly and struck it very sore and destroyed much people out of Israel. This man was wicked. They adhered to his credence. They gave it to him. He still killed them. Different mindset came. Who came in where we are today? Because they still in rule. A different mindset came when these people came in to rule. Fools of the city and set it on fire and pulled down the houses thereof and the walls thereof on every side. And they led captives, the women and the children and the cattle they took in possession. And they built the city of Dawid with a great and strong wall with the strong towers. It became them. To them, a citadel. They built the city of Dawid. Them, it became a citadel. And they put their sinful nation, transgressors of the Torah, and they strengthened themselves therein. They are trying at this moment to replace Israel. Started way back then, family. Again, when we came through the Medes, the Persians, the Babylonians, they did not try to replace Yahweh people. But people did. And they still in play today. Me and my brother Harvard was talking about that these people knew who they was taking when they was grabbing slaves from Africa. In other places, they knew who they were taking. And they stored up arms and food, and gathering together the spoils of Jerusalem, they laid them up there, and they became a sore snare. And it became a place to lie in wait in against the sanctuary, an evil adversary to Israel continually. And they shed innocent blood on every side of the sanctuary and defiled the sanctuary, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fled because of them, and she became a habitation of strangers, and she became strange to those who were born in her, and her children forsook her. Sanctuary was laid waste like a wilderness. Her feasts were turned into mourning, her Sabbath into reproach, her honor into contempt. According to her glory, so was her dishonor multiplied, and her high estate was turned into mourning. And the king Antiochus wrote to the whole kingdom that all should be one people. It's coming again. Fast approaching that time that they want one people again. Why we think we're going through the kingdoms of the earth and who shall rule? Why? Abba told them back in the book of Genesis when they were trying to build the but now he's allowing it. He is allowing it. Yeah, gather your forces. Get everything together. Get all your muscle, all your strength, get all your forces together. And King Antiochus wrote to his whole kingdom that all should become one people, and that each should forsake his own laws. And all the nations agreed according to the word of the king. And many of the Israelites consented to his worship and sacrifice to the idols and profane the Sabbath. I'm gonna jump over to our two family. If you want in your own time, you can finish reading it. Beautiful two, because again, this is the Grecians subjugating Israel. And at this time, they was more ruthless than anything Israel have ever been through in their history. In their history. You can even go back to Egypt. These people was way worse than that. Way worse than Egyptians. Because the Egyptians, still even under the Egyptians and the Pharaohs, they allowed them to stay beasts to keep their identity. They just hated them. They abhorred the Hebrews, as the scriptures say, but they allowed them to keep their identity. First Maccabees chapter 2, 1 through 27. In those days, rose up Matthias, the son of John, the son of Simon, a priest of the sons of Yarab, from Jerusalem, and he lived at Modin. And he had five sons, John, who was surnamed Gadi, Simon, who was called Thaddeus, Yahuda, who was called Maccabee, Eleazar, who was called Avon, Jonathan, who was called Alphaeus. And he saw the blasphemies that were committed in Judah and in Jerusalem. And he said, woe is me, wherefore was I born to see the destruction of my people and the destruction of the holy city, and to dwell there. And when he was given into the hand of the enemy, the sanctuary into the hand of aliens, her temple is become as a man that was glorious. Her vessels of glory are carried away into captivity. Her infants are slain in her streets, her young men of the enemy. What nation has not inherited her places, her palaces, and gotten possession of her spoil? Her adorning is all taken away. Instead of her free women, she is become a bondwoman. And behold, our holy things and our beauty and our glory are laid waste, and the Gentiles have profaned them. Wherefore should we live any longer? And Matthias and his sons tore their clothes and put on sackcloth and mourned exceedingly. And the king's officers that were enforcing the apostasy came into the city of Modin to sacrifice. And many of Israel came to them, and Matthias and his sons were gathered together. And the king's officer answered, said, you are a ruler and an honorable and great man in this city, and strengthened with sons and kindred. And now, therefore, you first do, and the command of the king, as the most, as all the nations have done, and the men of Judah, and those who remain in Jerusalem. And you and your house shall be in number of the king's friends, and you and your sons shall be honored with silver and gold and many gifts. And Micaiah answered and said with a loud voice, if all the nations are in the house of the king's dominion, listen to him, to fall away each one from the worship of his father, and have made choice to follow his commandments. Yet I and my sons and my kindred will walk in the covenant of our fathers. Heaven forbid that we shall forsake the Torah and the ordinance. We will not listen to the king's words to do aside from our worship on the right hand or the left hand. And when he had left speaking these words, there came a Yahudi in the sight of all sacrifice, all to sacrifice on the altar, which was at Molded according to the king's commandment. Can you imagine that? You up there giving your powerful speech, and hear this traitor come and mention as if, I don't care what you say. You see that today, though. Mention up there to sacrifice. Micaiah saw it, and his zeal was kindred, and his ring trembled, and he showed forth his wrath according to the judgment, ran and killed him upon the altar. And the king's officers who compelled men to sacrifice, he killed at the time and tore down the altar. And he was zealous for the Torah, even as Phinehas did to Zimri, the son of Zalu. And Micaiah cried out in the city with a loud voice, saying, whosoever is zealous for the Torah and maintains the covenant, let him come forth. And in your spare time, finish reading it. Beautiful read. But it gets real. It gets real. Man, in fact, that maybe one day Abba Yah will have us just to read that again, because it talks about how these brothers was in the wilderness and how they fought wars to save the Torah. And that will be the end of my Torah. I did have the Book of Wars to read, chapter 5. If you have the Book of Wars, Josephus, the Book of Wars is in Josephus, chapter 5, and we're just going to read about when the enemy was at the gate, when Rome was coming to overthrow Israel, that we were in fighting. There were three factions that rose up within Israel, and the enemy didn't even have to fight. They just stood back and watched, like, wow, we at the door, and we in fighting. We in fighting with one another, and the enemy's at the gate. We can't be like that, man. It can't be in fighting, because the enemy is at the gate. So we have to put aside these differences, because you know what? The rest of the world going to do that. Scripture tells us that. The rest of the world is going to put aside their differences, fight against you, Israel. So there may be the BRICS, there may be NATO, all of them coming together when Yahushua come back to fight against him. And if you turn in the twinkling of an eye, we are blessed enough to turn, they're going to turn against you too. And even before, they're going to turn against you. So we, as Israel, cannot be in fighting, because the enemy is at the gate. Enemy don't have to fight them. The enemy, all he have to do is wait, see which one win. All right, then they are now left in numbers, let's get him. They've been infighting all this time. Let's get him. Let's put aside these differences. Put aside whatever we have to do to make sure that Israel and the will of Abba Yah go forth. We can't go forth if we're infighting. We can't go forth if we have these things against one another, because the enemy is at the gate saying, kingdom of the earth, and who shall rule? We all know who will rule. But it's good to go through our word to reassure us that we are on the right side and laying down our lives for how long you have been will be worth it. Will be worth it. Shabbat Shalom, Yisrael. Maybe I'll read that next week when we start off. Who knows which way Abba Yah will be to go next week. I had some thoughts, but not until I be able to sit down and move things to the side. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me go to the benediction first. Blessed are you, Yahweh, shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who resuscitates the dead. Yahweh, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who blesses Israel with shalom. Hallelujah. 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 Abba Yah, once again, for opening up your Shabbat door and allowing us to come in to dine with you, Abba Yah. May that four-course meal that you're about to give us, Father, that you started giving us and feeding us, Father, replenish us, Father, strengthen us, Father, and give us what we need to keep moving forward, Father. Abba Yah, for your moray that you well, that has a double portion tomorrow, Father, the knowledge of Yah, may you continue to build him, to strengthen him, Father, to move away all uncleanness from his mind, to move away any unclean spirit that wants to hinder him from bringing forth your word tomorrow, Father. Abba Yah, I pray and ask for all those who are ailing in any type of way in the house of Yahweh, in your house, that's Yahweh, Father, from each and every member, Father, Yah, that any way they need you, Father, that you be there, Father, that you remove unclean spirits, that you remove ailments, Father, that you remove pain, hurt, suffering in any way that hinders them from focusing on you 100%, from believing in you 100%, Father, and for doing your will 100%, Father. As we grow and continue to share the things that are not like you, Father, continue to bring us forth to your light and your Holy Son, Father. In Yahushua's name we pray, Father. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, Yisrael. Shabbat Shalom, Abba Yah.
Into the rubble, bubbling. We don't need no more trouble. Double telescope vision, hot, hot vision. Like I'm running amok up on a rhythm. Stay on the band so you don't lose the vision. Same season, Peter Pan up from my pain. Just like yourself from the silly feeling it. You're breathing it. You put on your glasses and you see through it.
Fear nobody, what is majesty? My spirit, you be deep. For you I wait silently. It seems that you believe in me. Fear nobody, what is majesty? My spirit, you be deep. For you I wait silently. It seems that you believe in me.
Some of them run, run, run me like a rat on a wheel. Try to find a new deal. Who is there? Seeking for a meal. This world is real. On the heels of a final generation.
I remember that day in November. Standing on the roof and I'm feeling so tender. All shook up like I've been in the blender. Fend off the demons in the park after dark. Send me your hand. I want to be a member. Spend too much and now I'm rendered. We got a panda coming, red want to fly in the sky, but a heavy like
fear nobody, Thank you.